Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim 17 Shana. Yaakov Avinu lived in the land of Mitzrayim for 17 years. Vayichi Yaakov, and it was in the days of Yaakov Shnei Chayov, the years of his life, Sheva Shonim V'arvom U'mashona, 147 years old. Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, the Meshech Chochma says, I'm already thinking much over here. Actually, Yaakov did not live in Eretz Mitzrayim. He lived in a secluded area in Eretz Goshen. And yet the Torah says, Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. The Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim. So up to Meshech Chochma, there are some people that live lives for themselves. And that's fine. He says, that's fine. If a person lives a life where he takes care of himself physically, he takes care of himself in Ruchnias, that's a Madrega. There are other people that live lives not only for themselves, but for their family. Others expand more to their community. By Tzadikim, it says that the whole world stands on a Tzadik. The Tzadik is Yisoyid Olam. The Tzadik is the Yisoyid, he's the foundation of the world. When Yaakov Avinu lived in his secluded Eretz Goshen, by him doing his Egen Avodah by himself, actually all of Mitzrayim lived based on Yaakov Avinu. Because of his Avodah, because of his Kedusha, because of his Zechuyos, his merit, all of Mitzrayim was Zeicha because of him. That's why it says, Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim. Agam, he was in his little vinkel, but all of Mitzrayim was Mehenna from him. That is why, when Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim, the hunger stopped. B'schus t'tzadik. Hagam, he lived in his Egen Avinkel. All of Mitzrayim was Zeicha because of him. That is why when Yaakov Avinu was Nifter, it said, Evel Godol l'Mitzrayim. There was tremendous mourning for Gans Mitzrayim. It doesn't say for the land of Goshen. He lived in Goshen. What shaykhs did he have with Mitzrayim? The Teretz is because all of Mitzrayim gained because of Yaakov Avinu. Furthermore, Meshech Chochma quotes a Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu was Nifter, the hunger came back to Mitzrayim. As long as Yaakov was around, Gans Mitzrayim was Yoinek again because of Yaakov. The minute Yaakov Avinu was Nifter, that's when everything stopped. Abel Godel Mitzrayim, because they suffered, the Ra'av came back, the hunger came back. And the Meshech Chochma quotes the Ma'idik Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash says the following: Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu Hakadosh, he suffered, you know, pain from his teeth for 13 years. He had terrible yisurim. In those 13 years that he suffered, not one woman in Eretz Yisrael died in childbirth, nor did anybody give birth prematurely, and nobody lost a baby during that time. The Yisurim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was mechaper for everybody. After 13 years, he got angry once at Rabbi Chiya, his Talmud. And the next day, Eliyahu HaNavi came disguised as Rabbi Chiya. He put his hand on Rebbe's tooth, on his mouth, and all of a sudden he felt good. Later on, Rabbi Chiya walks in, he says, "How's the Rebbe's teeth?" So he says, "Since you put your hand on my teeth, everything feels fine." So Rabbi Chiya says, "Oy to the women that are expecting, woe to the women that are giving birth." As until now, as long as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi suffered, that was mechaper for everybody, and the Mela, they were able to be assured they're going to give birth to Shalom. But now that his teeth are back again, everything is fine. But Rabbi Chiya said, "It wasn't me that put my hand on your tooth." So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi understood that it was Eliyahu HaNavi that became disguised as Rabbi Chiya, and he started giving Rabbi Chiya special coverage from that moment and on. But you see from the Medrash that Kolzman, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had Yisurim, the whole world, everybody in Eretz Yisrael for sure was mad. There's another Gemara that says, the Gemara says, Yuma de Mechayek Revi, but dead Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi smiled, also Peronusa Liyayim. There was Peronius in the world. Those his tsar made it that everybody in the world was safe. And one day that if the tsar let up and he smiled, so Peronius came into the world, something bad happened in the world. There's another Gemara that says that all of the years that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Pei Hei, that all of the days that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had Yisurim, the whole world never needed rain. So you see from over here that Yisai, Tzadik, Tzadik is Yisoid Olam. And that was with Yaakov Avinu, the same thing. The whole Mitzrayim stood on Yaakov Avinu. The Melech, Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, and Abel Godel in Mitzrayim. All of Mitzrayim was Nehenna because of Yaakov Avinu. I mentioned last year, Lagabi, a different prat. Rav Yehuda Hanossi. Hanossi is Rishit Avis, who Nishmosoi Shal Yaakov Avinu. It's the same color that Yaakov Avinu had to be mashpia on all of his surroundings. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi had that same color. Who Nishmosoi Shal Yaakov Avinu? Another machshav. Yaakov Avinu calls Yosef, and he tells him, "V'osisa imodi chesed ve'emes. You should do with me a chesed and emes. Al nosig bereini b'mitzrayim. Please don't bury me in Mitzrayim." What is the lashon chesed ve'emes? Various mepharshim say various pshatim. You should do what Rashi says. Rashi says chesed she'osim im ha'meisim hu chesed shel emes. The chesed that's done with meisim is an emes dike chesed. Because normally you do a chesed with someone, you expect to get paid back in return. But someone does a chesed with a meis, number one, the meis is not going to repay it to you. Number one, that's not the kind of chesed you want to be repaid to you. Person doesn't want to die. So it's an emes dike chesed l'shem chesed. That's the way Rashi learns. I had a deher, similar to what Mepharshim say, but based on a different Meshach Chachma. There's a Meshach Chachma in Parashas B'chukaisai that says a reason why Yaakov Avinu did not want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Rashi brings down three reasons. Rashi says, number one, he didn't want when the earth will turn into Kenim, he didn't want his body to have to suffer from the Kenim. He didn't want them to make an Avodah Zarah out of him, because they knew that because of Yaakov, the rain, the hunger stopped, and the Yemei Sevah came back. And also, the third reason was because Rashi says over here, because of Kenim, because of, he didn't want them to make an Avodah Zarah out of him. And also, right, because of Tchias HaMeisim, the people of Chutz La'aretz have to row through the tunnels to Eretz Yisrael for Tchias HaMeisim. And Yaakov Avinu didn't want that. The Meshech Chachma says a fourth reason. He says it's different reasons. Up to Meshech Chachma, Yaakov Avinu was afraid that if he would be buried in Mitzrayim, then the Yidden would feel at home over here. The Tata is buried over here. They'd have a place where they can come and daven him. They'd feel at home over here. And Memela, they'll lose sight of where they really belong. And they'll settle down over here. Mitzrayim is the place. It's nice over here. It's comfortable. The father's buried over here. Good. Fine. Yaakov Avinu wanted them to have on their machshava constantly, "We are strangers here. This is not our land. Our land is Eretz Yisrael." See, Bedavki insisted on being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and this way the first generation will know, "Hey, the Tata is buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's really where we belong." And their hashkafe, their looking towards Eretz Yisrael, will be planted to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. They'll know that their makom is in Eretz Yisrael, and they shouldn't, chas v'shalom, settle down over here and start mingling with the goyim. This was Yaakov Avinu's kavanah. And maybe if you that, you can understand why it's called chesed the emes. It's a chesed for Yaakov Avinu, but it's an emes mitzad klal Yisrael to mimayim them our emes. They shouldn't think chas v'sholem that this is their makom, and they shouldn't lose sight of where their emes dikim makom is. So the gabi klal Yisrael is an emes chesed for Yaakov Avinu, emes mitzad klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, "Vani b'voyi mi Padan, when I came from Padan Aram, Mesa olai Rachel beres Kenan baderech. Rachel imenu was nifter on the way, but oy kibras eretz lovei Ephros, and it was still a little bit of an area to come to Ephros. The egbereh hashom baderech Ephros, he beishlok. I buried her there. Not only didn't I take her to the Maris HaMachpelah, but I didn't even go into Eretz Yisrael proper to bury her. Yodati Zochrashi, and I know Sheyesh B'yesh B'libcho Olai. I know that you have it in your heart against me, and you have kindness. How come you didn't bury my mother Rachel in Eretz Yisrael?" You should know that this was Al-Pi Adibur. It was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not my decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do that. Why? Because Lassid Lavai, when the Yidden are going to be put into Golos by Nebuchadnezzar, on the way out, they're going to pass the road, they're going to pass Kavarachal, and Rachel Imenu is going to come out and she's going to cry with them, and they're going to find comfort with her crying, and she's going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol v'rama nishma, voices heard from up high, Rachel mevakal banel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises her v'shavu banim l'gvulam. So this was al pi hadibur. But I know that you have it in your heart against me. So question number one is, if Yosef had time on Yaakov, why didn't he say anything? How could Yaakov be sure? I know that you have it in your heart against me, so why didn't he express himself? And if he didn't express himself, Shema, he didn't have the time. Why did Yaakov say, Yodati sheyesh belibcha olai? So I once heard, Shema, no, that in those days, if a child had a time against a parent, or a question on a parent, he wouldn't dare voice it. And certainly not the children of Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu said, Yodati sheyesh belibcha olai. I know that you have it in your heart against me, and you didn't want to voice it. So Mimela, I'm explaining to you now that this is the reason. But you know, nowadays, you know, time is unfair. Why is that this, and this is not fair? How come I'm not getting this, and how come I'm not getting that? Shema mina, that in those days, kid wouldn't have a havamina of asking a child, a parent, why is it not like this and why is it not like that? Oh, but the second question is, so why did Yaakov Avinu wait for so long to tell Yosef the answer? If he knew that Yosef was bothered by this, he should have told it to him right away. You're talking about over here 22 years that Yosef was away from Yaakov. There's another 17 years that Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. I mean, Rachel Imenu was stumbling before. It's about over 40 years that Yosef lived with this question. So why did Yaakov Avinu wait to tell him right now before he was Nifter? He should have answered the question right away. So I once heard the pshat, Shema Mina. Yaakov Avinu wanted to teach Yosef that a person has to live with questions. A person has to be able to have kashas and live with them, and even if the answer is not told right away, you have to continue living. Life is full of questions. Why is it like this, and why is it like that? And why am I experiencing this difficulty? And why does that tzaddik suffer so? Why does that Russia have it so good? Why? A person, a yid, has to live with kashas. That's what emunah is all about. Emunah means believing in Hashem when you don't understand it. If we'd understand everything, that wouldn't be called emunah. That would be called being able to see things with our own intellect. Emunah is the pshat to live with questions. So Yaakov Avinu wanted to be mechanech Yosef. You have a kasha, you got to live with it. Now it came to Seif Yomav. He told him, by the way, that question that you had, why I did such and such, it was al pi hadin. But a person has to live with questions. So ma'isa that happened, the Ksav Sefer, Ksav Sefer's son, once when he was young, so he was sitting and learning, and a masculine apikoris came over to him and started asking him questions on philosophy. And the Ksav Sefer didn't have the answer. And the questions were piercing, and they tumbled him. He didn't know the answer. He came running home to his father, the Ksav Sefer. He says, Tata, this guy asked me a question, such and such, and mommy said, I can't handle it. Ksav Sefer ignored the question. And he continued speaking with them and learning about a topic that they were discussing beforehand, as if the question didn't exist. Ksav Sefer didn't understand, you know, not answering my question. He didn't know what the answer was. About a week later, the Ksav Sefer tells his son, he says, by the way, that question that he asked me that time, that this fellow asked you, the question doesn't even begin with. And he explained to him why. And the question didn't begin with. So Ksav Sefer asked his father, so why didn't the Tata tell me the answer then? Why did he make me wait like this? So I wanted to be mechanech you that from a shvera kasha, a person doesn't die. You have a question. You have to live with the question. You don't have to have the answer right away. And if you don't have the answer right away, and if you don't understand, nothing changes. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have a question. You have to live with the question. Don't become to tumult just because you have a question and you don't have the answer right away. That is the yisoid in our life. Klal Yisrael lives with emunah. How come we don't understand everything? Afal pikein, we have to continue living. And Lord said, Lord, everything will become clear to us. I've mentioned this a number of times, that the Ramban, Malcolm Yamloyes in the Malcolm brings down this mice, and the Ramban lived in a time where Yidden were suffering terribly. The Ramban himself, after having the famous debate in Spain, he had to run away from Spain because after everything they wanted to be raided and they wanted to put him in jail. So the Ramban had a Talmud that was very, very sick. And it was ready, they saw that he was not going to make it. So before he was nifta, the Ramban went over to this Talmud and he gave him a kameya to hold on to. And he told him, with this kameya, you're going to be able to go up to Shamayim and to the highest Mekaymis. I have a list of questions that I want you to ask up in Shamayim. He told him this question and that question and that question, and come back to me in a dream and tell me the answer to all of the questions. Talmud was nifter, and sure enough, after a while, he came back to his Rebbe in a dream, and he told him how beautiful everything is up in Shamayim now. It's Gevaldig, and Vilam Haba, it's Nishayach. So the Ramban says to him, what about the questions that I asked? So what questions are you talking about? He says, you know the list of questions I told you to ask when you get up to Shamayim. He says, oh, those, I totally forgot about it. When you come up here, there's no questions. Everything is clear. Everything is clear. Marshall Mahadavar Diamond, a little kid sees a video, he sees things happening, and he's wondering to himself, how do all those people fit into that box? How do they fit in there? It's a shayah. The kid gets older, he understands, you know, what's the pshat, that it's a kasha and he has a terrace to it now. The kasha doesn't begin with, because when you see things the way they really work, the kasha ain't a pshat. He said, we're like those little kids that are here in the video of life. You know, when we have a kasha, why is this happening and why is that happening? Everything will be clear, we'll see that the kashas did not begin with Meikar. So Yaakov Avinu says, Hamalach Hagoyel Oyisimi Koro, the Malach that redeems me from everything bad. Yivarechas Hana'orim, he should bench the Na'orim. V'yikori behem Shmi, v'shem Avoyse Avraham v'Yitzchak. He should call upon him my name and the names of my father Avraham and Yitzchak. V'yidgu l'roi v'kerev ha'oriz, they should multiply within the land. So I once heard a beautiful chat from Rav Moshe Scherer, Zechrono Livracha. He asked the question, what does it mean, V'yikori behem Shmi, v'shem Avoyse Avraham v'Yitzchak? Where's the covenant for a father and a grandfather? They should put upon them my name, Yaakov, and then the names of my father and my grandfather. It should have said, the Kari Ben Shem Avram, the Yitzchak, the Yaakov. She mentioned himself last. What's Shmi? V'Shem Avaisai Avram, the Yitzchak. Why does Yaakov Avinu put his name first? So he said a beautiful chant. Avram Avinu Ki Yodua represents the Midas Achesed. Yitzchak Avinu represents the Midah of Avaidah. Yaakov Avinu represents the Midah of Torah and Emes. So he said, Chesed is a Gevaldige Zach. But if Chesed is not done within the parameters of Torah, with the vision of Torah, then the Chesed could be, you know, totally misguided. Person that leaves millions of dollars to the Cat Foundation, which is, by the way, which is a reality. When people are starving, and he thinks he did the biggest Chesed, that's not really a Chesed, that's Achzorius. People are starving and you leave millions of dollars for cats. It's a misguided chesed. It's not a chesed at all. We need the hashkafas ha-Torah to guide us what chesed is. Same thing with avodah. People have all kinds of crazy avodahs that they do and they think that they're connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You need the hashkafas ha-Torah to tell us exactly what is avodah. That's why Yaakov Avinu said, the Yikori Behem Shmi, V'shem Avoyse Avram v'Yitzchak. My name has to come first. Yaakov represents the Hashkafas HaTorah. If you have the Hashkafas HaTorah, m'meila your chesed is a chesed and your avoid is an avoid. But if you don't have the Hashkafas HaTorah beforehand, you can be totally misguided. You won't know what the avoid of Avram really is, and you won't know what the avoid of Yitzchak really is. Tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Ramatul Katz, say Tzadik Levracha, says Elu Dvarim Shadam Oichel Perisem Ba'Elam Azeva Ken Peyam Es Ba'Elam Abo Kibud Ov Ein Ol Gnilas Tassodim Vashkam Es Beis Vayish Shachar Es Vayim Vach Mosav The Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam. So the positive shot is the Talmud Torah is equal to everything. The Motel Kansas Tzal Taichd Up the Talmud Torah Kineged Kulam. You always have to have Talmud Torah opposite everything to teach me, is this really Kibud Av? Is this really an Emes Dikah Bikur Chaylin? Is this really doing chesed? Talmud Torah has to be the thing that reflects on all of them. How am I supposed to do each and every one of those things? Because if you don't have Talmud Torah, you don't have the Hashkafas HaTorah, you don't know what Emes Dikah Chesed is either. And that's the pshat over here, V'yikori Behem Shmi, V'shem Avoyisai, Avraham V'Yitzchak. The Farshim asks, Yisimcha Elikim Ke'efrayim V'Chemenashe. Hashem should place you like Ephraim and like Menashe. What's up is Ephraim and Menashe were Zeiche, that the bracha that we give to our children, that is the bracha. Friday night, kid gets married, Erev Yom Kippur, these are the brachas we give you. Should be like Ephraim and Menashe. What is so special about Ephraim and Menashe that they were Zeiche, the Choy Yivarach Yisrael, through you, Klal Yisrael, who bench their children, Yisimcha Elikim Ke'efrayim V'Chemenashe. Last year I said one pshat, but this year I saw a new pshat. The Sefer Chochmas HaMatzvun brings down from Rav Avram Zalman, a beautiful pshat. Let's picture what happened with Ephraim and Menashe. Yaakov Avinu is about to bench them. Menashe is the Bechor, he's expecting he's going to get the Iker Bracha. And Ephraim is the younger one. You know, he'll get the smaller Bracha. And Yaakov Avinu places his hands on them, and all of a sudden he switches. Can you imagine the shock that Menashe must have felt at the time? How degraded he must have felt? He says, what? He says, I'm the older one. I should get the second class Bracha. Yet Menashe did not say a word. Garnished. No machloikis, no arguments, no complaining. Yisimcha Elikim Ke'efrayim V'Chemenashe. He gave the bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. Menashe didn't complain. Unlike Yishmael and Yitzchak, where Yishmael was jealous of Yitzchak. Unlike Yaakov the Esav, where Esav was roid of Yaakov. Unlike the regular Shvatim, that were jealous of Yosef because Yaakov favored him. Over here, Menashe was the older one. Ephraim gets the bracha. Menashe does not say a thing. Yaakov Avinu said that's the biggest bracha for Klal Yisrael. That there shouldn't be any machloikis, there shouldn't be any jealousy, there shouldn't be any complaining one against the other. The perfect example of that is Ephraim and Menashe. And if Klal Yisrael lives like Ephraim and Menashe, that goof will be the biggest bracha. And this is the epitome of it. The first time in history. Every generation before that suffered because one brother was jealous of another. And over here, Menashe L'Chayr, it sounds like he's getting a bum rap over here. He's getting to the lower end of the deal. Does not say a word. If this is the Rutsan of the Zayda, I'm a Kabbalah myself. No jealousy, no complaints. Yisimcha L'Kim Ke'efrayim V'Chemenashe. And that is the way Klal Yisrael will survive. No jealousy, no machlokes. Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas. So he says, "Yosher shevet mi Yehuda, u'mechoykik mi ben Radlov." The scepter, the rulership, should not depart from Yehuda, u'mechoykik mi ben Radlov, and the law enforcers should not leave between his feet. Ad ki yovei shiloi, until Mashiach comes, v'lo yikas hamim, until Mashiach, there'll be a great assemblage of nations. So the Ramban over here says that this lo yosher shevet mi Yehuda u'mechaykik mi ben Radlov. Poshut, you would say that it's a promise. Yaakov Avinu gives him a bracha. I give you a bracha that all of the kings and all of the leaders, the law enforcers, should come from Yehuda. Ramban says a chiddush that this wasn't just a promise. It wasn't just a mere bracha. This was a tzivui that he sent to his children. Lo yosher shevet mi Yehuda. Malchus is not allowed to come from any other Shevet but Shevet Yehuda. It was a tzivui, and this is the way it has to be. Ramban says, this is why when the Malchus split, and you had Yehuda and Binyamin that were under the Malchay Beis David, and you had the Aseres HaShvatim that had a different Melech. This was a major mistake that the Aseres HaShvatim made, that they kept on taking kings that weren't from Shevet Yehuda. The first king of the Aseres HaShvatim was Yerovam ben Nevat. And he was made melech al yidei achya hashiloini. But that was only for that time. It wasn't meant to be for generation after generation. The Aseres HaShvatim, they relied on that, and that was a major mistake. Zokta Ramban, this is why one king after another wasn't successful, and you know, one after another, they died. They were over on this tzivui of Yaakov Avinu, wa yosher shevet mi Yehuda. And the Ramban says something else. The Chashmenon. We know that the Chashmenon had a terrible end. Chashmenon were all killed out with the safe. Every one of the sons of Matisyahu went down violently. They were all killed. And the end result was that nowadays there is not one remnant from Beis Chashmenon. The last remnant of Chashmonai was a young girl that Hurdis wanted to marry, the ruthless King Hurdis, and she got up on a roof and she made an announcement called the Omer Mibes Chashmonai Ana. Whoever says I'm from the house of the Chashmonai, he's really in heaven, because I'm the last one left over and I'm jumping off the roof now. There's nobody left over from the Chashmonai. So Frechter Ramban, how could that be? The Chashmonai were tzaddikei olam. The Chashmonai were mekadoshei shamayim. If not for the Chashmonai, up to Ramban, nishtakcha Torah Yisrael, we wouldn't be here today if not for the Chashmonai. So how could it be that they all died violently, and akidei kach, that there's not one remnant of the Chashmonai? So up to Ramban, because they were over on this tzivui of Yaakov Avinu over here. Well, Yosher shevet mi Yehuda u'mechoykik mi ben Rachel. Malchus can come from only one place, that shevet Yehuda. The Chashmonaim, after they were victorious, right away, they should have made a melech from Yehuda. By keeping the Malchus within the Kehanim, they were over on this posik, you were over on the posik, can't have a kiyam. It's pachat kodim if you think about it. They were great heroes. But as Ramban says, if they were great heroes, if not for them, we would not have Torah today. The stock for Torah. The Yaakov became, the Torah doesn't play favorites with anybody. You're over on the posuk in the Torah, finished. You don't have a kin. And Mida connected Mida, the Ramban says, they took over the Malchus when they weren't right to take the Malchus. The end result was that their Eved ruled over them. Hurdis was an Eved of Beis Chashmonai. An Eved that's not right for Malchus, and he ended up ruling over them. Mida keneged Mida. I once heard a Ha'ara, Shelter the Kasha. The Chashmonaim were also smart people. The Chashmonaim weren't people to be over on the Torah. They were Moshe Nefesh for Torah. So how is it that the Chashmonaim, they were over on this Adayri Taket? How could it be? So I once heard that the Chashmonaim had a very good cheshmon, because when they won the war in the times of Hanukkah, the war was far from over. They still had to fight against the Yevonim, and they had to fight against the Misyavdim. There was such turbulence, tremendous turbulence. So to switch in the middle and to give over the rulership to somebody else, that would be very shaky. Who knows what, you know, what the ramifications could be? They had a very good cheshmon. The Alpha Pekin. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Chochma, Ben Eitza, Ben Tfuna, Neged Hashem. If this is what the Torah says, can't compromise, there's no Heterim, maybe they should have done it in a way where Yehuda is the ruler and you sort of like you're his advisors. But the fact that they took the Malchus away, they were right around, well, Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda, Memela, that is why they lost everything. I just want to point out, I saw that the Sofmer Rebbe, and the Yoni Chanukah, he says that the Rambam argues with the Ramban. Not everybody holds like this Ramban. Because the Rambam, when he brings down the Indian of the Simcha of Chanukah, he says that they overcame the Yevonim, the Chosra Malchus Li Yisrael, Yoser, that, you know, Malchus came back to Klal Yisrael for more than 200 years. That's a chelik of the Simcha of Chanukah. So Satmar Rebbe says that if they would have been Ivan and Aveira, then what's the big Simcha? That they did an Aveira. Vice versa, that the Rambam holds that Yosher Shevet Mi Yehuda is not a tzivui, it's a promise. He didn't zich with the Ramban. But the Ramban says clearly, Yosher Shevet Mi Yehuda is not only a promise, it's not only a bracha, but it is a tzivui. This is the way it has to be. I want to finish off with the Chassidus Shavarev from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said a Chassidus Shavarev. I find it interesting in this Chafetz Chaim Ala Taira. Yisachar Chamor Gorem. Yisachar is a bony donkey. Reveis Ben Amishpasoyim. He crouches between the borders. Bayar Menucha Kitoyim. He saw that Menucha is good. There's a Oretz Kino Ema. And that the land is pleasant. Bayeshich Moy Lizboil. And he put his shoulder down to carry the burden of Taylor. So the Chofetz Chaim said, B'derech Tzachus, he said. Yisachar, we know, is Yesh Sechar. There's Sechar for Torah, there's Sechar for mitzvahs. So there's so much Sechar, how come people don't run after the mitzvahs? The Teretz is Chamor Gorem. The Chumrius in a person, the Gashmius within the person, the Eitzahara within the person, that is Gorem, that is the cause that he doesn't run after the mitzvahs. What is the Yesha for that? Reyves Beina Mishpasoyim. You have to park yourself between the borders of the Beis Medrash. You're in the Beis Medrash. You sit and learn. Barasi Eitzahara. Barasi Teira Tavlin. The Beis Medrash. The Tchumen of the Beis Medrash. If that becomes your Mokan, you can overcome the Eitzahara. The Memele, you'll be right if you have to Liman HaTeira. You'll be right if you have to Mitzvahs. A good job. Thank you.